Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, It's Possible.
Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 through 30. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, Who can then be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Verse 26 says, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The definition of possible is that which is likely or achievable. Possible, something that is likely or achievable, a person or thing that has the potential to become or do something. My title for today's sermon is simply, It's Possible. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, It's possible. Come on, say it like you mean it, It's possible. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, It's possible. God has charged me with the assignment of reminding you that it's possible. Am I sure what you're facing? Am I sure what you're questioning? And am I sure what you're pondering? I'm not sure what you are in need of. Just know that it can be done, and you are the one who can do it. For too long, we have allowed the words of others, our situations and circumstances, the perplexities of life, are excuses to prevent us from receiving what God has for us. But when we begin to understand and truly believe that God's promises are yea and amen, we will begin to pursue the possibilities. Our words will change from I can't to I can, because we are pursuing after the word of God that says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We hold fast to the word in Genesis 18 and 14 that says, Is anything too hard for God? And we reply, Absolutely nothing. The impossibilities that have plagued us in our past and that are currently trying to creep into our present must be destroyed today. Someone shout today. Say it like you mean it, today. We destroy it by the words that we use and the posture that we take. We destroy the impossibilities by looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We destroy it by holding on to God's unchanging hand. We destroy it by staying connected to God. Point number one, staying connected. Someone shout, stay connected. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We can no longer allow perplexities, the perplexities of life and the pains and the frustrations, the disappointments, the anger, the loss and unbelief, the misunderstandings, all that stuff, we can no longer allow it to separate us or disconnect us from Jesus Christ, because he is our lifeline and he is our power source. He is our strength when we are weak, our present help in the time of trouble. When we are connected to Jesus, he loves on us. He comforts us. He leads and guides us. He walks with us. He supplies our needs. He heals and delivers us. He communes with us. He chastens us. Staying connected increases our faith. It gives us the power that we need to defeat the enemy. It gives us the courage to go on when we want to give up. John 15, verses 5 through 7 state, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Someone shall stay connected. Stay connected releases the possibilities of God. Staying connected releases the possibilities of God. There are some things that we want God to do. There's some things that God wants to do for us, but we're too far from him. He says, come a little closer so you can hear what I want to tell you. God, I can't hear what you want me to do regarding this situation. He says, just come a little bit closer. I've been speaking the whole time. We have to understand that God is our lifeline, and with him, we can accomplish greater things than we have ever imagined before. But when we disconnect from that lifeline, we don't have the strength that we need. We don't have the power that we need. We don't have the guidance that we need. So staying connected is not only possible, but it is necessary for us to be what God has called us to be. He said, in him we live and we move and have our very being. We need God in every area of our lives. We need God when we get up. We need God when we go down. Everybody inhale. Exhale. You didn't do that on your own. Everybody raise your hand. You didn't do that on your own. There are people around you who can't lift their hands and glorify God. Staying connected is not a chore. It's a pleasure. To be in the presence of the Lord is a pleasure. He loves on us. He comforts us. He reassures us how special we are to him. And the enemy wants us to believe that God has forgotten about us. But tell your neighbor, not so, not so, not so, not so. God loves us just the way that we are. So don't let your fears, don't let your doubts, don't even allow the things that you've done that you should not have done separate you from the love of God. We don't have to be perfect to be in his presence. We just have to come just as we are. God wants us just the way we are. Someone shall stay connected to God. We have to stay connected to God. Life's challenges are designed to separate us from the very one who loves us. Stay connected to God. Staying connected releases the possibilities of God. Verses 27 through 29 state, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that which ye have followed me in the regeneration with the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 29 says, you shall receive a hundredfold and inherit the kingdom of God. Some of us are waiting to get to heaven to receive what God has for us. Some of us are waiting to get to heaven to receive all this wonderful stuff. But he said that you will receive a hundredfold and inherit the kingdom of God. So you can have it right here. You can have life and life more abundantly right now. Why? Because it's yours. Point number two, I'm going real fast, guys. Point number two is it's yours. Someone shout, it's yours. It's yours, the possibilities that God has for you. All that he has, it's yours. In this text, we find Peter basically saying, well, some of us have said time and time again, God, what about me? Can you be honest and say, you said, God, what about me? I've celebrated with everybody. I've cheered everybody on. God, what about me? In this text, God lets us know that our works have not been in vain. All that we have sacrificed and given up has not gone unnoticed. God will reward our faithfulness. The times we stood for righteousness with everyone around us who said it doesn't take all that. The people that we walked away from and that walked away from us. The times we stayed when we wanted to leave. The times we cried, but we didn't turn back. Does that sound like anybody here, or is it just me? The people we walked away from, the times we stayed, the times we cried, the times we squared our shoulders and said no, and we really wanted to say yes. The times we were misunderstood and mistreated. The times when we were quiet and we wanted to speak because we had a whole lot to say. And some of us don't like being quiet because we got a whole lot to say. And we can say it nicely, but we're going to let you know what you're not going to do, how you're not going to do it. Don't come like that again. That's what you're going to get in Jesus' name. But God tells us sometimes just to be quiet and let the Lord fight our battle. And sometimes that's hard because I know we adults, but we don't want to be punked. They're going to think they can say whatever they want to say to us, and we can't do nothing about that. They're going to think that it's okay that they just said that. But nah, that's not okay. Nah, what they did is not okay. That's not acceptable. But God says just be quiet and let the Lord fight that battle for you. The determination to do things God's way when it could have been easier to do things the other way, and it would have been more fulfilling. As children of God, there's some things that God tells us to do that does not make any sense. God, you want us to do what? How you want us to do that? Well, why you want us to do that? Because it's easier, God, if I do this. And if I do, I did it before and it worked. Let me do it again. And God says, no, I need you to do things this way. And allow me to do everything else for you. If you want to get what God has for you, we have to trust that God knows what he's doing with our lives. And a lot of times we don't know that. We trust God, but do we really trust God? I trust you with this, but not with that. I can handle that. I'll trust you with this, but no, don't touch that. I got that. And tell your neighbor, you don't have anything at all. I've tried my best to do things on my own. I tried to do things that I thought were pleasing to God, and God said no. And sometimes we don't understand why God is saying no. And can I be real? We don't like the fact that God said no. Especially when he said yes to her, and he said yes to him. I'm like, Peter, well, what about me? How come they can do that and I can't? How come she can have that and I can't? I'm more faithful. I work hard. I'm in this place. I do what God has called me to do. I walk right. I sacrifice my life. I live holy. And she got what? He has what? He don't even know how to spend his money right. I got all this money saved up, and I can't even get this. I got to move and go here. I don't want to live here. I want to live over here. I don't want to stay at this job any longer. It's holding me back. But God said jobs are assignments, and your assignment's not over yet. That God is going to take care of all that we need for him to do. And the answer should be emphatically yes. So if we want the possibilities, if we want the great door of possibilities to open in our lives, we have to not only stay connected to God, but we have to realize that what God has for us is ours. It belongs to us. It might not come when you thought it was going to come. It might even come the way you want it to come, but it's still yours. God's not going to wave it in your face and say, nah, 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 nah. Why would he do that? Why would God tell you he's going to do something for you then pull it back? And then say it, then pull it back. And say it, then pull it back. God's not a jokester. This is not funny. It's not games to him. He understands what we need, and he knows how to give it to us. He wants us to be in a posture to receive what he has. And the way that we do that is for us to proclaim that everything God has for us belongs to me. Someone shout, everything God has for me. Only say it if you mean it. Everything God has for me is for me. I've come to inform you that it was all worth it. And now the great doors of possibilities have been opened and enlarged on our behalf. It's time for us to receive the hundredfold blessing right now. It's time for us to receive the hundredfold blessing when? Right now. It's time for us to receive the hundredfold blessing when? Right now. If you know that God's going to do it right now, your posture changes. Your attitude begins to shift. Encouragement rises up within you because God is going to do that thing right now. That thing that has bound us up and made us believe that what we have been praying for was impossible for God, he declares it is possible, and I'm going to do even greater than what you've imagined, and I'm going to do it right now. So get ready for the good measure. Press down, shaken together, and runneth over blessing because God has it for you right now. The healing that you've been praying for is yours. The deliverance you have been praying for is yours. The breakthrough that you have been praying and crying for is yours. The finance that you have been praying for is yours. The peace that you have been praying for is yours. The job you have been praying for is yours. The promotion that you have been praying for is yours. The opportunities that you've been praying for are yours. The freedom that you have been praying and longing for is yours. It's time to reap the benefits of our labor. Someone shout, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. If you don't believe it, I'll believe it for you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. Yeah, you messed up, but God said it's still yours. I still have it for you. Yeah, you turned your back, but you came on back. So yeah, I still have it for you. It's yours, and it's yours right. It's yours right. It's yours right now. Someone shout, hallelujah. Come on, only if you know that you have asked God for some things that you need God to do right now. There's some things that only God can move and shift and do on your behalf. And he needs you to understand that it is possible and it belongs to you. You can have all that God has for you, and you can have it right now, not only in the by and by, when the morning comes. We want it right now. Now, you said, I have a hundredfold blessing. I want it right now. That means that all my needs will be provided for if you give me a hundredfold blessing right now. That means my family will line back up with the word of God right now. That means my loved ones will be saved and delivered right now. That means my mind will be sound right now. That means the peace of God that I need will rest upon me right now. All you have to do is believe it. All you have to do is proclaim it and then go ahead and grab it. All you have to do is believe it. All you have to do is proclaim it. And all you have to do is grab it right now. See, some of you don't understand the importance of hearing that is yours until everything you have been taken from you. When what you desired has been snatched right out of your hands. When the loved ones that you have raised right to do things right are all off in someplace else. You don't even know what happened to them. When things that you have asked God for, you didn't see. When you begin to doubt if God really heard you, if God even knows you even exist, if God has your back for real, you don't understand until you've lost everything, how much a little bit makes you feel. Just a little bit of God will do you pretty good. And God wants us to have the fullness of God, right? Now. So it's yours, people of God, what you've been asking God for, what you have been praying for. And here's the goodness of God. Even what you didn't even ask for, he has for that for you too. There's some things that we didn't think that we should even ask for. I don't even want to ask for that. I don't even know if I'm going to get that. Why should I even ask for that? I'm not going to get it. We're so used to being disappointed. We'll stay within like a little boundary. I'll ask for this, but not for that. Ask for this, but not for that. Because that's too big. If I don't get that, I'll be too disappointed. But if I get this, I'm comfortable because I'm used to this. But God says, you got to ask for more than that. I'm coming to give you greater than what you've even expected to get. And I want to give it to you right now. Someone shout, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I need you to grab a hold of it, people of God, that the possibilities of the kingdom of God belong to you. That all that he has for you, he said, it's yours, that you can absolutely have it. Point number three. Verse 30 of our text says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Point number three, seize the moment. Tell your neighbor, we have to seize the moment. People of God, none of us know how much time we have. And we definitely don't know if we will have this opportunity again. So I beg you, while God has opened this great door of possibilities in your lives, that you take time to seize the moment. Now, I want to prepare you because it may not look the way you thought it was going to look. It may not come the way you thought it was going to come. That's because we were the last. And because of that, our expectations are so low that when it arrives, we cannot possibly believe that it belongs to us. That's not for me. That's for them. That's not for me. That's for them. I grew up on this side of the church. We don't get that kind of stuff. I don't have that much education. I only get this, but they get this. That's not for me. God wants you to understand that your perspective has to change so you can recognize the blessing when it comes your way. The very thing you thought you could never get, God says, that's for you. That's not your neighbors. That's for you. That's not for them. That's for you. That's really for you. It's mine for real? I can have it. You sure can? Nah, stop playing. I can really be free, really, from this? Nah, God, stop playing. Stop playing. You gonna really deliver my mama for real? Nah, stop playing. Stop playing. Stop playing. That's not for me. That doesn't happen to my family. We have generation of people who don't do anything. So you want me to go to school? Yeah, that's not for me. You opening doors for me? For me? And God says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. It doesn't matter to God when you come into the kingdom. It doesn't matter to God if you've been saved 500 years. If you've been saved 500 years, you go old. 500 years. If you've been saved 20 years or 5 years, you're in the kingdom of God now. And when he has for the one who's been here for 20 years, he has for the one who's been here for 2 months. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. I need you to understand that it's time for you to put your hands on your chest and say, this blessing is for me. What God has is really for me. And I'm going to take that and treasure that and speak that and proclaim it and hold on to it, because this time the blessing is for me. And a lot of times we wonder, God, can you really do that for me? God, you really show up like that on my behalf? He said, absolutely. This time the blessing is for you. Put your hands on your chest. Say, the blessing this time and in this season is really for me. Now think about what you want God to do for you. Think about what you've asked God to do, the hard thing. Think about what you needed God to do on your behalf. Think about the miracle that you need in your life, in the life of a loved one. Just think about that thing for a minute. Think about the ways that you need God to make on your behalf. Think about the heart that's broken that he needs to mend. Think about the relationships he needs to restore. Think about the blessings that you need that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Think about that and then shout, it's for me, it's for me, it's for me, it's for me. I need you guys to understand that it is your time and it is for you. This season, the blessing is for you. The possibilities that are going to be presented to us are going to absolutely blow our mind.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.